Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of our Tickets for Two podcast, where we aim to provide our unique insights on your favorite movies. And today, we are talking about none other than Challengers. Now, once again, I am left alone. Santi is still out there enjoying his life, but he will be back. But I'm sparing him this week because this is one of those movies where both of us were unsure what the outcome was going to be. So I took it upon myself, as I mentioned to you guys on the last episode, that I was going to watch Zendaya's newest project, Challengers. Now, there's a lot to say about this movie. There's good in it, there's bad in it, and I think a lot of you who have seen the movie have your own opinions about whether or not it was necessary to have a movie like this, or it was unnecessary to have a movie like this. There's quite a bit of discourse when it comes to reviewing this movie. So let's get into it. What is this movie about? If it follows Zendaya, her character's name is Tashi, and as a teenager, I think she was like 18 years old, she is like this tennis star prodigy destined for greatness. And then when she meets these two boys named Patrick and Art, and these two guys, they pretty much are also like tennis legends of their own right. Like they're also like really, really good. They're also teenagers. So they all meet up with Zendaya and they build like this bond together. A very, very unique type of bond. And then the movie follows both of them throughout the ages, like through college, after college, seeing how, you know, Patrick is like a washed up tennis player. Art is trying to hold on to whatever credibility that he has left in the tennis world. And Zendaya's character, she blows out a knee, so she can no longer play and just coaches Art. And if it leads up to this dramatic finale in the movie where, like, Patrick always used to beat Art in tennis as kids, and now he's trying to prove it in like a very final match of the ages that he could still beat Art. And then there's some quarrels along the way, like Zendaya's character Tashi was supposed to be Patrick's tennis coach, but then something went wrong where like they broke up because they were dating, and then so Zendaya's Tashi ends up dating Art, and it becomes like your typical love triangle. So now you guys get the gist of what this movie's about. It's just one giant tennis match. And I get that that's what the director Luca was trying to portray. His whole entire movie was a back and forth. So you know when you're watching a tennis match, to very few of you who probably play tennis, but you know about it. Like, your head is bobbing back and forth from one player to another. You see the ball bouncing. And that's what this movie encapsulates. You could tell right away that Luca was filming this in a way that where you're focused on the present, like present times, and then it immediately gets thrown to a flashback. And then you're in that flashback for a little bit when they're like 18, 19, back to the present. And then the story progresses. Then you're thrown back again to another flashback when they're kids. And then maybe now they're in college. So it keeps going back and forth. And just like a tennis match, your head is all over the place. You're like, you're in one place, then you're in another. And then as the flashbacks get like shorter, if you start noticing in the movie, it starts like what, like 15 years ago. And then as the movie gets closer and closer to the end, their flashbacks are like a day ago, or midnight, or the day before the match. It shortens, and the timeline, it's interesting. So I gotta give props to Luca for that. Like, the way that he utilized flashbacks, it progressed the story, but at the same time, it was a headache to follow. But at the same time, you gotta give props because he's a good director in his own right. But one thing we need to address. Luca, the director, I guess he loves his gay boys. Because, I mean, this is probably going to be his next titular movie. When you guys who remember, the one that tossed him into fame was Call Me By Your Name. With Armie Hammer and Timothée Chalamet. Which we all know is another gay movie. And if you guys want to see Timothée Chalamet bear it all, I say go for it, because, you know, that movie's for you. But then again, side note, if you guys watch that Disney movie Luca, the animated movie, like where they're like fish and then they go onto land, they become like real humans, that movie if you watch that, it's like very similar to the plot line of Call Me By Your Name. Like, it's very similar. And the character's name is Luca, like the director. So I don't know what Disney was doing there, but I saw some similarities. But going back to it. I mean, Luca did cast... He has a good eye for casting, like, the most feminine-looking guys. Now, I don't know if the actors that he casts are actually gay or not, but they can definitely play the part, which, I mean, hey, you know, that's acting. You know, sometimes you gotta do what you gotta do. But when Luca hired Timothy Chalamet for Call Me By Your Name, I feel really bad because you got, like, the... There was one interview with James Cameron, and I think it was also with Denis Villeneuve, the director of Dune. They were having like this like interview about like how their movies were made, and James Cameron, he came out and like just called pretty much Timothy Chalamet like a little like feminine. He said that he had high feminine energy. Now that's not a comment or even a borderline a compliment that you want to hear from one of the greatest directors of our time. Like, poor Timothy, man. Like, you don't want to box him in as that kind of character. And then he was in Little Women, which he also played, like, you know, a feminine guy, I guess. I don't know. So, anyways, we got these two characters in Challengers. We got Art and Patrick. Now, Art, if you saw him across the street, you would think, like, all right, you know, he looks like a decent guy. Like, a nice, wholesome guy. And then you got... Patrick, and he does look like a fuckboy. Like, he does look the kind of guy that would take your girl. He doesn't care about relationships. He's not the one that you want to bring home to mom for dinner. So he did Luca did a really good job casting these characters. And then you got Zendaya just thrown out there in the mix, which I guess anybody could have played that tennis character, but he chose Zendaya, which, by the way, I want to say I feel bad for Tom Holland because he had to sit there through this movie, and for those of you who saw Challengers, you see that Zendaya is like touched. Every corner of her body is like explored by these two guys in the movie. And poor Tom, he just has to sit there through the whole thing watching her get manhandled. It's like, he wants to cry. I mean, like, Tom Holland had his own bathroom sex scene with some random guy, right? I mean, I think he played a gay character in, I don't know what show that was, but that had to have caused Zendaya a little bit of trauma to where she had to tell herself, like, you know what, Tom, you can go do your male on male scene. I'm gonna go have a three-way with these two white dudes who one looks suspiciously close to how you look. Anyways, so like a couple things that I really liked about this movie. The first one being the music. This movie had surprisingly an insanely good soundtrack. I don't know who was cooking it up in the studio, but when they were playing those bangers that made you feel like you were in a nightclub, it was like, I wanted to get up and start grooving. They really hit the nail on the head there to make you feel like, oh my god, like, this music is like intense, at the same time makes you want to dance. I really like that nightclub raving type of music that made you. Whoever was dropping those fire beats, man, deserves all the praise. And also another thing that I really liked, music wise, was like the piano lament. Kind of music that they were playing. The closest thing I could remind you guys is like when they're walking towards the beach and out of nowhere like a piano just drops, and I think it was the most beautiful artistic piece of piano music that I've heard in a movie in a long time. So that was great. The second thing that I really liked about this movie was the unique filming that Luca Guadagnino, I hope I'm saying his last name right, the artistic choice he used of making a POV shot of the tennis ball. Now, towards the end of the film, when Art and Patrick like going at it, you know, back and forth to each other, I think it was really cool. I had to have been CGI. There's no way they attached like a little tiny GoPro to a tennis ball and that thing did not get shattered. But I really liked that it kept going back and forth and you saw them bah, bah, bah. I thought it was pretty cool. I didn't feel dizzy. I don't know how they didn't make me feel dizzy, but it was pretty cool. Those two things, amazing. I think there's something to be said about the soldier slash tennis player pipeline that is that is played by like every Spider-Man slash Mary Jane actress. I mean, we had Tobey Maguire, you know, the OG Spider-Man, my favorite Spider-Man. He played a soldier in that movie Brothers. And then we had Andrew Garfield in Hacksaw Ridge. And then Tom Holland, he was in that movie Cherry. And then we had, in the Tobey Maguire, we had Kirsten Dunst play a tennis player in the movie Wimbledon. And then we had Emma Stone play a tennis player in the movie Battle of the Sexes. And now we have Zendaya playing a tennis star in Challengers. It's like a prophecy that has to be fulfilled. Now, about this movie as a whole, I am kind of conflicted in how to feel about where this movie is going to go critique-wise. So a part of me thinks this movie was clear Oscar bait. Like, I mean, the Academy loves these types of films. And the best example I have of that is there's kind of a widely accepted theory that Christopher Nolan would never have gotten, like, Oscar noms or even possibly wins for Oppenheimer if he never included, like, some kind of nude sex scene. Like, the Academy foams at the mouth for material like that. Like, they just want to review people getting naked for some reason. And maybe the Academy's going to look at this movie now in a more serious light. Maybe we could get some kind of nod for Zendaya. I mean, she is getting much better as an actress. Euphoria really whipped her into shape when it came to acting. Speaking of which, can we be a little glad that that show is practically dead now? I swear, Euphoria, I saw it, to both seasons. It was pretty good, but let's be honest, that show is made for people who peaked in high school. It's filled with nothing but dramatization, the use of drugs in underage kids. I feel like it was a poison to the minds of people watching it. I mean, Zendaya was even asked on this press tour about like season 3 and saying, you know, what does she know about Euphoria? And Zendaya straight up said, quote unquote, "If it's right for the characters and everything turns out the way it should, then of course it should come back. But it's beyond me." And as we all know, in the movie TV world, that's pretty much code for, yeah, it's dead. It's not happening. And that show is made by, like, what, Sam Levinson? The same guy who helped create The Idol? I mean, put that guy in a box 10 feet underground. Like, that guy doesn't deserve to be anywhere near a script, let alone writing a TV show for HBO Max. Or just Max, because they like to drop the HBO because they don't want to sound recognizable anymore. Like, yeah, Max, okay. That's just a tangent. Okay, going back to it. Euphoria, I'm glad it's dead, by the way. But this movie, Challengers, let's talk about who this movie was made for. If it's not Oscar bait, who was the target audience? Like, let's be real. There's a very niche audience for this type of movie. And I feel like you have to mix tennis players with gay people, which I'm sure, you know, they're out there. I'm no doubt, you know, in general. And watching this movie and knowing nothing about tennis makes me think, like, you know, okay, should there be an explanation of what tennis rules are? Or do I just gotta sit there and pretend like I know what's going on? Like, I really don't. I don't know what tennis rules are. Like, even at the end of the movie, Challengers, when Art, like, is about to jump over the net and what do they call it? Like spike the ball over Patrick's side? What happened there? Like, I get that Luca was trying to pull an Inception ending on us of, like, you know, the spinning top. Like, oh, is it a dream? Is it not a dream? And this movie's like, oh, did Art win? Did Art not win? What did it mean that he was over the net? He touched the net. Did he touch the ball? Did the ball land in the court? Who won and who lost? Like, I don't know what the rules are. Like, you, like, there's no way that Luca made this film specifically for, like, tennis players who understand. I wish there was a little bit of a background. And Santi said this once before on our podcast about movies should not make you go home and do homework. You should not be watching a movie, come home, and be like, okay, now I gotta learn the rules of tennis to figure out who won at the end of the movie. Like, no, like, it should be something that should be either explained or just flat out told us. I get Luca tried to do this because he wanted people to talk about the movie after it was out, like, you know, word of mouth, like, oh, who won, who didn't win, you know, what do you think, what do you think? Like, I think he kind of failed on that. I think it's more of like a, bro, like, I don't want to go do homework. Like, I just tell me who won. You know, with Inception, that's different because, like, it makes you wonder, like, was it a dream or not a dream? Like, there's no one you could go to about that. And it's all just fan theory and it's exciting. But when it's a real life situation like tennis, you get that feeling in you of like, ugh, I don't want to research this, man. So anyways, I don't know who this movie was for. There's probably a very niche audience out there that enjoys that, understood it all completely. But that's not me. That was not me. But there was a couple things that Luca got right. And I want to really praise him for the way he told this story. I have a very specific rule of thumb when it comes to these movies, or any movie in general. It's like, if you do flashback scenes, you have to make it purposeful. You got to give it a reason to exist. Flashbacks cannot be a cop-out for films. There's a lot of films out there. I'm not going to name any right now because they could be some of your favorites. But they use flashbacks in the middle of like act two of the movie, or even act three, or even at the end. And it takes you out of the moment. Like, when you come to like the resolution, the climax of a film, and you just start getting thrown back into a flashback scene, it's like, it can rarely be done right. And an example I'll give you, I'll actually name a name. I'll give you two, one that did it right and one that did it wrong. For those of you who recently saw Dave Patel's movie Monkey Man, you noticed that there was constant flashbacks to his childhood, neither of which ever gave us something new. Each flashback was like him as a kid in front of, like, you know, his burning house. And then there was like a second of him in front of, like, you know, an army. And then eventually we got to a flashback that talked about how, like, you know, a guy killed his mom and he has to go out for revenge. Like, you could have done that in one flashback, Dev. He didn't have to give us a million of them and take us out of the moment of the present. Like, your film was good, but you just kept bringing us out of the tension that we built together. It's like, that's so wrong. The one time I can give you guys an example of when a flashback was done correctly was the finale episode of Invincible Season 1, when Omni-Man is beating Invincible to a pulp, and then we get a flashback cut to Omni-Man as a dad and Mark as a kid hitting a baseball. That was like perfectly done because we never got like a flashback before, and we needed some background of like how they were as Mark as a kid. And so to get that in the middle of the beatdown was just so perfectly well done. And the fact that it progressed the story. So when you look at Challengers, the flashbacks did a great job at progressing the story. It was overdone. You probably didn't need that many flashbacks. You probably could have cut some out and, like, I don't know, worked it out, but it didn't need that many. But it did it well. So I do give Luca props, and I do commend him for the amazing work he did, not making me feel like just annoyed. I was exhausted, sure, but I wasn't annoyed. There's a difference. So let's be real. If this movie didn't have Zendaya in it, I don't think many people would have had this movie on their radar. Now, I don't know how much money this movie's going to pull in, but I'm very skeptical on whether or not it's going to make a huge return enough to say it was a success. I mean, it got some praise, but the praise is kind of mixed to me. Like, I read some reviews online how people are talking about this movie had, you know, like, high sexual tension, and they wanted more of it. And it's like, I feel people are missing the point of what this movie could have been. This movie, it felt to me, well, I want to get into my score right now for those of you listening, but this movie felt a lot to me like your cookie cutter love triangle, typical high school drama type of movie. Like, the only cool thing was that insanely well done POV of the tennis ball, but there was nothing of substance. Like, this movie didn't propel anything forward in terms of cinema. Like, it didn't take an overused concept and make it new. It didn't. Like, so what was the purpose of this film? Besides, you know, besides LGBT representation, what was the point of this movie? Like, every movie has, like, some sort of, like, take on a concept that sort of ignites it to be better than its predecessor, but this one didn't do anything different. Like, again, I'll use the same example, Monkey Man. It tried to be a John Wick copy, and because it was filmed entirely in India, there was a lot of things that Monkey Man did that in some moments made it better than John Wick did. But in this movie, Challengers, it didn't do anything to propel, like, your typical love triangle storyline. And sure, like, a lot of people, kids particularly, are going to eat this up and think it's the best movie ever about love. And I don't know, I just think it fell flat. I think it wasn't reinventive. I think it was boring, and I think the story could use a lot more work. So I want to wrap this up and say, what do I give this movie out of 5 tickets? Well, I'm going to give it a 2.5 out of 5 because the acting was well done. Zendaya killed it. She did fantastic. I want to see her in more dramatic roles. I think she has it in her to breathe life into these intense characters. But at the same time, Luca didn't do anything special to reinvigorate an audience to his work. It's very reminiscent of stuff that he's done before. And I mean, hey, I guess if it ain't broke, don't fix it, right? But at the same time, as a filmmaker, you want to push yourself forward to be better. And I think this movie failed at that. So I did trash this movie. I think it was a waste of time. I really wish I saw Civil War instead, like my friends did. But at the same time, you know, I have high hopes for Zendaya as an actress, and I'm really curious to see where everyone else goes. I mean, Timothée Chalamet is shining in Dune. Maybe one of these actors who played Art or Patrick, maybe they get to shine in future projects. I know the actor who plays Art, he's going to be in the movie Bike Riders with Tom Hardy and Austin Butler. So, I mean, he's got a future ahead of him. I hope to see more of these people, you know, going forward. But Luca, I think you need to pump the brakes a little bit on this type of filmmaking style and maybe give us something new next time. But with all that put together, thank you again, everybody, for tuning in to another episode of our Tickets for Two podcast. And we will see you next time. Come on.